Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm on the phone with Tom Hewitt, who is coming to the Keller Auditorium January 3rd through the 8th. He is in the musical Finding Neverland. And I had the good fortune to take a look at some video online of the show, and it looks really magical.
Yeah, doesn't it? It's a really, really beautiful production.
Yeah. Tell me how you got involved with it, if you can.
Well, every working actor, I auditioned.
Right.
I play two characters. I play Charles Frohman, who was the producer of Peter Pan, produced many of J.M. Barrie's plays. And I also play Captain Hook, who in this manifestation is really more of a facet of J.M. Barrie's darker side. You know, J.M. Barrie kind of manifests Captain Hook, who then sort of encourages him to explore his darker side. You know, to pirate up. You know, to find the courage of his own convictions and to write his own story. So I've had the great pleasure of playing Captain Hook before with the wonderful Kathy Rigby in Peter Pan. I did it for some years on tour and at Madison Square Garden and had a really, really wonderful time. So it's really fun to kind of, re-examine Captain Hook in a completely different context.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. My dad played Captain Hook at the Muni when I was a kid. So it was years and years ago. And that character, the whole Captain Hook story is so magnificent in all incarnations, just in how he became who he became. And I would imagine that would be a lot of fun to keep thinking about him.
It's a ridiculous amount of fun. Captain Hook was actually sort of an afterthought for J.M. Barrie. Barrie had to write a scene in between the set for Neverland and back into the nursery. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a short scene that's called an in-one scene that's done in front of a drop so that the crew could change the set. The character turned out to be so rich and good that it sort of developed into, what we know today as Captain Hook. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, one of the most, a character that's really deeply embedded in our culture.
Right, exactly. It's so iconic. It was kind of like, oh yeah, we need a little scene here.
That's amazing. So how long have you been on tour with the show?
We opened officially in Buffalo in October 10. Mm. So, yeah, a little over almost 3 months now.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. And how much longer will you be doing the show?
Well, the tour is scheduled, I believe there's dates through October 2017. I'm not quite sure what my future is with that, but... Mm-hmm. I hope to continue with it as long as I can. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. It's a wonderful job. It's really wonderful to be in a show that people enjoy so much. People really, really, really respond very, very well to the show.
And you're in Denver right now, and then you come to Portland after Denver?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, I know when you come, when you do a tour, that you're provided with various materials about the cities you're going to visit. Is there anywhere in particular that you're interested in visiting in Portland?
I'm sort of familiar with Portland in a little bit. I'm originally from Montana, and my parents, my family, we would vacation on the Oregon coast almost every summer. Mm. So, we passed through Portland several times. I have very fond memories of the Rose Garden. I don't know if it's going to be worth visiting it while we're there, but that's a really fond memory I have of Portland. That big, beautiful, beautiful garden up there.
Right. The whole the park up there is beautiful. I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. And there's such a lot of fun places to walk to, and the river. And
yeah.
Do it when
you... Portland's a great food town, too. I think we're all looking forward to that part of Portland experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. So tell me a little bit more about the musical aspect of the show, if you can.
Well, the music in the show is unapologetic British pop. which is kind of surprising when you like you when you first walk into the show and you think, you know, because it's of course based on the movie with Johnny Depp and what's her name's escaping me right now, but a beautiful film. So the last thing you expect is British pop in the context of that story, but I got to tell you, it works really, really, really well. Harvey Weinstein is the producer, or the main producer of the show, and he also produced the movie. And in, well, like so many things, you know, there's the novel, there's the movie, and then there's the play or the musical. And those three things are their own completely separate individual animal. You may be, you may have the same characters, the same plot lines, but you have to look at them in completely different ways. And Harvey was wise enough to completely dismiss the sensibilities of the movie, which are beautiful, but to know that you have to, you know, for there to be a live stage show for families needs to be a completely different sensibility. And the music's delightful, and it's really fun. We have a wonderful choreographer, Mia Michaels, of So You Think You Can Dance fame. And the choreography is so fun and original and energetic and beautiful. She's really, really terrific. So that combined with Diane Paulus is really imaginative and theatrical direction. It's a really, really beautiful production. I'm really proud of it.
Oh, that's so wonderful. What characters might people recognize from prior, you know, interactions with the Peter Pan world?
Well, you know, Peter Pan, like so many, like The Wizard of Oz or even Star Wars, you know, these stories, these 20th century stories are part of our American mythology now. You know, like The Wizard of Oz is so many stories that you can write about it because people are so familiar with the characters. And the same is true with Peter Pan. You know, the movie Hook, Peter and the Star Catchers, Peter and Wendy, a bunch of, you know, a lot of different other theater and movie and storytelling has been, have been offshoots of the Peter Pan story. And, you know, like, I kind of benefit from that. Captain Hook's first entrance is way upstage and in silhouette. So I'm just sort of standing there with my hook raised, and people know instantly who it is. Yes. So, you know, 90% of my job is already done because people know exactly who I am. So that's fun. You know, it's really fun to explore and exploit people's familiarities with these characters.
I'm curious how the crocodile fits in.
Oh, I kind of want to. It's a story about how J.M. Barrie develops the story of Peter Pan.
Right.
You know, he met a woman, a widower, and her four boys, and they, played games and made up stories in Kensington Gardens.
Mm.
And Barrie used those games and stories to write the play Peter Pan. And so our show is about how those characters are developed. So I don't want to. The crocodile is in fact featured, but I don't want to do any spoil. I don't want to, you know, give it away.
It's funny, just the anticipation, because I just love. It's interesting as you talked about the hook being so iconic, as is the TikTok.
Right.
It's really fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
When you're on tour, how do you maintain a sense of home for yourself when you're traveling so much?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, this is my fourth decade of being an actor. I'm almost 59 years old. I've been touring, you know, off and on for a long time. You know, I have to say that with the advent of social media and things like FaceTime and Skype, things are a little easier as far as maintaining a sense of friends and family. That's a little, when you actually look at the people you're talking to, that makes a lot of difference.
Mm.
But, you know, it's hard. My partner just left today. I just got off the phone with him. He's traveling with our dog. He's driving down to Florida to pick up the tour of Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
So we're both going to be on tour now, which means that we will never see each other.
Oh my.
Never see each other. In fact, we're like, okay, we need to really sit down with our schedules and see if we can take personal days or if there's any time that we can actually see each other. It's it's challenging. Yeah. We both have a. I have a week off in April, so mm-hmm. I know for sure that that's going to happen. But that seems like a very long way away right now. So you know, it's you have to balance finances mm-hmm. with your emotional. What you need, you know, it's. Oh, show business, I tell you.
It is. It's kind of interesting, especially at the holidays, you know, all the joy that I know you're bringing to all the families who are seeing you. And I don't know how many people are aware of those types of sacrifices, which are pretty large, actually, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, it certainly comes with the territory. You know, my partner and I have been together for almost 20 years, mm-hmm. and touring has always been a factor. So, you know, I knew the job was dangerous when I took it.
Right.
But also, what's also kind of sweet about this tour is, you know, there's kids in the show. There's boys. There's like we're traveling with six boys, ages mm-hmm. 9 through 11, mm-hmm. and two dogs. Mm. There's also dogs in the show. So, you know, that's really wonderful and humbling, and, you know, their families are with them, and they're rambunctious, fun, really great kids, and so that helps too. You know, we're sort of it makes the sense of that we're like a, you know, kind of a big family traveling together. So
right,
that's nice. It's
yeah.
really nice to have kids and dogs around.
It is. It's nice. You make every show. I mean, I'm an actress as well, and every show you do, you make a family for a short while, and sometimes for longer than that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you're in Denver until what date?
Through the first of the year.
Oh, got it. So you'll be spending New Year's in Denver.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, and then you'll be traveling out this way and getting here probably around January 2nd.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh,
we
wonderful.
Open, I believe, the 2nd, I think.
Yeah, I think... You may open the 3rd, but I'll get that accurately
okay.
on the
yeah,
bottom of the podcast.
I don't want to give any false information.
What do you like to do in the daytime when you're not working?
It depends, you know, from city to city. You know, I like to try to keep healthy and at least sort of try to find the gym.
Mm-hmm.
The show takes a lot, so mm-hmm. I have found that if you do too many touristy activities during the day, it can be a little enervating. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I like to try to keep that to a minimum. But you know, of course, it depends on the time of the year and the city. So, you know, I think on the day off, I may rent a car and drive up into the mountains. I can see them from my hotel window, and they're beckoning me. So maybe there might be some outdoor wintertime recreational activities that I'm not supposed to tell my stage manager or company manager about.
Oh, yes.
Because limbs might be broken, but, you know. So we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today, and have a wonderful, wonderful trip out here. I'm looking forward to seeing
Thanks,
the show.
Thanks. The company's really looking forward to coming to Portland.
Thank you again.
Thanks very much. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.